Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. B'chairos Laman Aleph. We begin right on top with a Tana Rabbanan, which relates back to yesterday, where we learned that if an individual committed himself to a higher cause, he's going to observe higher standards of tahara, purity regarding, you know, food matters, etc., regarding truma and maser, disengaged from the Am Haaretz, who's uncareful in these matters. He wants to attain the status of a chaver. As we learned yesterday, the Rambam explains that the term chaver relates specifically to those who are associated with each other in matters of spirit, in matters of ruchnius, the underlying connector between all these individuals is their, you know, shared pursuit of higher spirituality. That's the ultimate friendship, ultimate association. Spirit is what unifies us. So he'd like to attain the status of chaver, and he undertakes to adhere to these higher standards. Likewise, we have the Levi, the Kohen, who are committing to their respective, you know, processes and systems, halachos of avodah, etc. So they join the club. Tana Rabbanan, v'chulon shechazru b'hem. After a while, we notice that they're sliding away, they're deviating from their commitments, and they don't. They no longer seem to be observing, keeping these standards. Ein mekalonaisan. So once they leave the fold, once they slide away, we will never retake them, never take them back. Olam is forever, because it puts a big question mark on their level of seriousness and their level of commitment. Divrei Rav Meir. So according to Rav Meir, once you were in and then you left, you're out permanently. Rabbi Doimer, no, it all depends. Depends to what degree they deviated. Chazru b'matzmoinis. If their deviation was in private, in the privacy of their home, but in public, they would conduct themselves as a chaver, as a person of high stature, then they're trying to fool us. That's lacking in integrity. You can no longer trust them. Ein mekabel noisan, then, yeah, in fact, we can never re-invite them. But b'farhesya, suppose they were open about their deviations, weren't trying to hide anything, in public, transparent. In which case, if they change their mind again and decide, you know what, we'll give it another try, mekabel noisan, and then you can trust their sincerity and re-invite them into the club. Ikadamri, there's another version of this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, just the opposite. If it was just, in private, then it doesn't have the element of publicity of Chilul Hashem, desecration of Hashem's name, and disregard for the halachas, then it's not so terrible. Then once they turn around, you can re-invite them. But if it was done in public, with total disregard for these matters, that's more severe, that's worse off. In which case, we don't take him back. If they conducted their things b'matmoinis, in private, out of, public eye, then if they turn around and come back, mekablan oisam, we take him back. But b'farhesya, in public, which Rashi explains has an element of Chil Hashem, then Ein Mekabel Oisan, we no longer invite them back. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha Imrim, they disagree. Either way, we always leave the door open for you. Hey, Benkech or Benkech, whether it was this way or that, it doesn't matter. Ein Mekabel Oisan, we'll take them back. There's always a way back. Mishim Shenema, as per the Pasuk, where Hashem tells us, Shuvu Banim Shevavim, return to me, you wayward children. And Rashi in Avodah Zarah says Shevavim relates even to mazes. Vayelach Shevav, Rashi says. So even if it was outright and mazes, The door is always open. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Ish Kvar Akoy, he quoted Amar Rav Yechanan, that's the way we go. Halacha is Azuk, Halacha adopts the opinion of this pair of Chachamim. The third Shita, the road to Teshuvah is always open. Tan Rabbanan, likewise, we have another Braisa, Barishonu Yairim, way back in the days, they would say, Chaver, if a fellow had already attained the status of Chaver. Then, he took on a job, which was, less than ideal. Vanasa Gabai. It doesn't mean a Gabai in the shul. It means a Gabai who was a tax collector on behalf of the government, who weren't always known to be upstanding and men of integrity. They would use their position to blackmail, to coerce people, to extort money. So it wasn't a position that you'd like to be associated with. So if the chaver turned into a Gabai, we cancel his chaver membership. We reject him from the chaverus. And even Piresh, even if he leaves that new job, too bad. Ein mekavonoisa, once you're out, you're out. We can't take you back. Chazru leima, that was the initial approach. Then the Chachamim turned around and said, you know what? Sure, while he's a gabai, it's unbefitting to call him a chaver, but Piresh, he decides to leave the job and comes back to us, Harihu kechal adam, he's treated like anybody else. Now, the di kechal adam, the Farshim point out, doesn't mean that he gets his status restored. It just means like anybody else, which means to say he has to restart the application process, the training process. He has to restart like anybody else, but he's not worse off than anybody else. And this sort of fits with the previous Gemara as well, that the road is always open, the door is always open for you. In fact, it was a story with Rav Huna Bar Chiya, who was a big expert, a very learned person, in Shtricha Leishat. Turns out that at that time they needed his expertise, needed to ask him something in a matter of Torah. Some learned that they were going to appoint him as the Reish HaYeshiva. Okay, and a very large and prominent entourage of Chachamim came to visit him, to propose to him. Hava Ayel Gabei, so who was coming to him? Rabba, and also Rav Yosef, and 400 Chachamim along with him. V'arba Mea Zuga, the Rabbanan 400, Rabbanan Zuga means Peres, Chavrusis, came to present to him. Shamadas, when he got word that this large entourage is arriving, he prepared their seats, their chairs, cut the Louis tied for them, maybe the cushions on the chair. Arba Mea Tachtaki, 400, seats. Turns out they never made it. L'soif shama denasa gabai. Turns out on the way they heard that he assumed a new position. He became a gabai, which was not the position that would befit a Rosh HaYeshiva. Shochulei, so they sent him a message. You know what? It's your option. You undertook this new role, this new position. Well, that's instead of this. Zil l'chashivusa, go to your prominence. Zil l'chadamusa, go to your first choice, if that's your choice. Okay, it's your decision, but you lost out. Shalach lu, so he responded, Hadribi, you know what? You're right. I'm canceling. I'm leaving the job. So what happened? Rav Yosef le'oz? Rav Yosef still wouldn't go to him. Once he was tainted, once he associated with this dishonesty, he's unbefitting to be appointed Rosh Hashiva. Rabba, Azal, Rabba didn't go to him. Rabbi Yosef Amar, he says, I can't go. Tanina, we have a b'raisa, pirushim b'kavon ois, even if they leave that position, we reject him. Rabba Amar says, no. Look at the last part of the b'raisa. Tanina, the b'raisa concludes, they changed this halacha. Chazru Leima, he turned around, they said, pirush, once he leaves that position, he's back to normal. And the Mepharshim explained the plan Rabbi Yosef held. Yeah, he's like anybody else, but to appoint him a Rosh Hashiva, for that, you have to have sterling, credentials, which, in his opinion, this didn't qualify. Tan Rabbanan. Here comes an interesting braisa. So the Kohen got a hold of the Bechor. He's waiting and waiting for it to get a mum. Nowadays you can't do anything with it until it gets a mum. And he notices a blemish, which appears to him like a qualifying blemish, mum kavua. Could he go with it? Could he just make his own psak? Or does he have to go show it to another rav? Tan Rabbanan, kol ha-bechor is adam roya. A person has the ability to pasken on any bechor, provided it belongs to other people. where you have no vested interest in expediting, you know, the process. So there you're going to be objective and impartial, but your own bechor, no. Chutz me shel atzmi, can't inspect your own bechor. For you might be motivated by your interest in moving the process along and alleviating yourself of the work and the effort. Imagine the kohen has to go raise an animal in his backyard. It could be 10 years until it gets a mum. So you're not being neman, you're not going to be trusted on your own. But when it comes to other karbana, suppose a person owns a shlamim and he notices a mum. Can he issue his own ruling? Yeah. V'reis kadasha. V'es masreis, likewise a master behema animal, if he notices a mum, he can do it alone. V'nish al tareis, likewise if he has matters of tahara, questions on his status of his food, he can make his own decision. Amar mar. Let's explain the difference. So let's review. Kala b'chiris adam reyachutz mishal atzmai. You can view any b'chir except for your own. How many people are involved in inspection, expecting the Bukhar? Ilay Mebuchad is just one person, Muhammad, one person is never believed. Rashi brings the Gemara later, Deflam Bavi, you need at least three people. Elabatlas, apparently there are three involved. Okay, if it's three, and two are objective, so we're not concerned about an incorrect ruling. Since when do we suspect three of wrongdoing? But now we have a Mishnah back in Yevamos. Miyana b'shachotze b'fanav, a woman who rejects her husband or has chalitza done in front of this scholar. Yisa ena. Subsequent to this procedure, he can go marry her. We're not concerned that perhaps he was motivated by his own interest and he processed her procedure so that he can go marry. No. If he's one alone, maybe, but he's part of a trio of a bezin. And they're not swayed, so we're not concerned about impropriety. Mishu Bezin, because he's part of a Bezin. Okay, here as well, if we have three people paskening on the Bukhar, what's the issue? Leila Bechad, certainly we're speaking about one kain, one person, and not three. In which case it arouses suspicion of impropriety. Perhaps he's motivated by interest. Well, how could you have one? Just as Rabbi Yechon teaches us regarding nullifying a vow, Mater Ned, you can have either a bezin of three, or if you have one super expert, a mumcha, one is enough. Here as well, by a bechor, standard procedure requires three. But if he's a mumcha, he can do it one alone. In which case, we say, but not your own. But v'rei is kadashav. But you can rule on the status of your carbon and determine that it has a mum, which allows its pidyon and shchita. Why? Why is that different than bechor? Perhaps he's also motivated to get it over with. Because he has a much more simpler legal alternative to get out of it. Mitchell, just go she'ela, go to the Rav and undo the vow, the carbon had become kadosh through his expression, through his verbal expression. That's like a vow. It's like an eder, which can be mater. Can undo it. If he's really looking to relieve himself of this burden, just go and undo the nether. Why bother blemishing your animal, which is an isser? Right? The pasuk said, lo yahaya, we're not allowed to manipulate, and I'll go and inflict a wound. And so why would he do that? Why would he that or more specifically, why would he go and he didn't inflict it, but it was there. He would go and he would fudge it. He would pretend that it's a mum. Why would he do that? Just go and undo the. Okay. So again, the concern was he discovers a mum on his animal, which isn't really a mum. Shall we be concerned that perhaps he'll misjudge it and misrule? No. Because he can just go and undo the Kedusha. Apparently, when he rules it to be a mum, it is correct. Same thing with the Master Behema. He's allowed to issue a ruling on the status of the mum. Why? Because once again, he has an easy alternative, which could have preempted this whole issue if he really would have wanted. That's his interest. The Ibai, because if he wishes, Shadeve Mumma, he can inflict a mum bekulei edri, his entire flock, an entire herd. Rashi explains, he'll do it before processing the sheep and appointing the master behema. So he goes and clips all the ears, And then he goes and he puts them through the, you know, the pen, through the door, and he counts them out, and inevitably the Master Bein will have a mum. He's one of the bunch. So if he wishes to avoid any, you know, issues of being burdened by the he would just preempt the system. Okay, so since he has an easy alternative, we assume that now that he's ruling and he's paskening about the other mum, it's real and it's genuine. Last item, v'nishal ataraisof. Why is he trusted regarding matters of taharis? Because what does he have to, you know, gain? The chazal leimei tumasai. His loss isn't very big. Suppose it's really tummy. Why should he go and manipulate it? He can just eat it when he's tummy. The chazalei, they're suitable for him when he's tummy. We're talking about chulin, Rashi says. Regular, ordinary food, which he is, you know, careful about eating when he's tort, eat it in a status of tahara. But if it's it's tummy, you can just put it aside without any loss. There's no no big deal. And that's why we trust him to rule that in fact it's Torah. Now Tesei has Akasha. Okay, that's good regarding Chulin, which is Tamei, which you can save for a rainy day. But Truma, let's say, which is Tamei, that's unsuitable at all. So you mean to say a person's not going to be trusted to rule on matters of Truma where there's potential loss and other matters of Isra V'Heter, Basar V'Cholo. Tesei asks Akasha. He doesn't answer. So Shita Mekubes actually seems to indicate, he says that a person may be tempted to fudge around when it comes to chulin, because it's only a chumrah, it's only the rabbanon, you know, matters of purity in chulin materials. But there's no room to think that a person will manipulate, you know, the halacha in matters that are, you know, clearly serious and heavy regarding truma tmeya and regarding other matters of isra v'heter. And that's why over there, a person is neman. Hadran loch ad kama Yisrael chayav. Okay, new parak. Says the Mishnah. Kol pesuli hamakdash. This is a term referring to karbonis, which experienced a mum. Rashi says, kadoshim shenafal behen mum. Okay, so now it's blemished. You go and redeem it. Ultimately, you redeem it and you shecht it. Now you have a ton of meat. What do you do with so much meat? You can sell in the market. The mekarim beitlas that can be sold in the marketplace, in the butcher shop. And shchatim bezel, can shecht them over there. And shkalim belitz, we can weigh them on the, you know, the scale. We don't have to treat them differently than other meats. Okay, so litra actually is referring to a specific a weight, which is a reference to weighing it the way you do. Okay, so that's regarding psulei hamikdash. And then we'll explain, you know, even though you seem to be, you know, degrading the honor of the Kiddush material, because after all, even after it got blemished and was redeemed, there are still residual elements of Kiddush on it. You can't, right? We had this discussion many times. You're only able to eat the meat, but this animal cannot be worked or shorn, etc. So why then do we go and treat it like anything else, you know, like regular merchandise in the market? The Gemara will explain, because Hegdish has a potential gain and benefit from this procedure. Because when a fellow anticipates the ability to sell in the market and get a good income for the material, he'll be more willing to offer a more generous offering regarding redemption. So ultimately, the Hegdish will benefit from it. So it's like sacrificing Hegdish for Hegdish. And that's why we allow it. Except Chutz min ha-bachar v'ha-maser. You see, these are different. Firstborn animal given to the kohen, or the maser behem, which the owner keeps. In these, when there is a mum, you have to still treat them with utmost respect. You can't sell them in the marketplace like any other commercial material. You know why? Because here, who benefits from it? Not Hegdish. There's no money going to Hegdish. Shani yasin labalim, because the benefit is only to the owner. In which case, he's not allowed to sort of trample upon the honor of the carbon for his own benefit. As opposed to psulei mekdashin, as opposed to the first category of carbonis, any extra income, any gain and benefit, ultimately benefits hanayasin lehagdish, and that's why it's allowed. Conclusion, v'shoiklan, mone, k'neged mone, v'b'char, although you're not meant to weigh the Bechor Meter on an ordinary scale, the way you do ordinary meat, but if you do it a little bit different than normal, so basically you have a piece of meat sitting there, regular meat from Chulin, which you know weighs a pound, weighs a mana, you can take that and weigh it against the a corresponding piece of the Bechor meat to determine the weight of the Bechor meat, as long as you're not using an actual unit of weight. So since it's derech shinui, you're allowed to. Do you have time to please? Ask the Gemara. So kol psulei hamikdashim, you're telling me that psulei hamikdashim, that gains hekdash, that benefits hekdash, hanasan lehekdash. How? When? When does hekdash have any income from psulei hamikdashim? Amos, what are we talking about? When in the process are we holding? Ilei melacha b'dyoinen. Was the shlamim that experienced the mum already redeemed? It's a done deal. So why allow it to be sold in the market? To allow the owner, the new owner, the redeemer, to gain a benefit from that income. It's benefiting only him and only him. Hanas on the Hegdish? Why is the Hanah going to Hegdish? Hegdish got their money. It's been redeemed. It's over. Hanas on the Bailam? Any benefit going further is to the owner. Elof Nebidyon. Oh, apparently it's before redemption. Says the Gemara Nishchaten, so we're allowing it to be sold, to be shechted, and the well, once you shecht it, you can't do pidyon. Haboy hamad varoch, you have to stand up and assess the animal, which you can't do after shechita. Well, anichla manda amar kachim mizbech loy hayu b'chlam manda varoch. That works according to the opinion that shlamim, anything that which mizbech related, does not need that process. Okay, so it works. You can redeem it after shechita. Elul manda amar according to the opinion hayu that even kachim mizbech were obligated in this process, so we're stuck again. How can you do pidyon after shechita? Oh, apparently we're speaking, it was already redeemed, it's over, post pidyon. And when we say that you can sell it commercially in order to benefit Hegdish, what was intended is that what does that mean? Adim Yikara. It's going back to the beginning of the process. That a fellow will be more inclined to provide a generous offering to the Hegdish in terms of the amount he's willing to pay to redeem it, since he anticipates a profit. To give him the Shari Lomar, Dinim Karan Be'itlis, Vinishchatan Be'itlis, Vinishgon Be'litris, since you allow this fellow to ultimately take it out to the market and sell it for proper, you know, market value, Tafi, he'll add, Uparik, in his redemption, Mikar initially. So initially he'll offer a more generous offering. So ultimately, Hegdash will benefit from it. Except for Bechor HaMaser, where the money goes to the owner. Chutz na Bechor HaMaser, we don't allow treating them like regular material, because there, who has to gain? Only the owner. There's no money going to the Hegdash. Shnei Asan L'Bayl. Okay, now let's dwell on the concept of selling Bechor HaMaser. Could you sell Bechor HaMaser? Bishlam Bechor. Okay, so certainly the Bechor, although you can't sell it out in the market, you can sell it at home. You know, the Bechor, once he gets the coin, once he gets the Bechor, it's his material, you can sell it even to Yisrael, no problem. So that's good. Ella Maser Bebesim Mizdabin. But Maser Behema can't be sold at all, even in the privacy of your home. V'atani, we have a brayser. V'bechor namaloi sifta. V'bechor, it says, loy sifta, you don't redeem, you don't sell it. It's referring to the Yisrael prior to delivering it to the Kohen. But once the Kohen gets it, it's his private material, he can do whatever he wants. V'nem kachai, you can sell it even while it's alive. As opposed to b'maser, b'maser behem, it says, namar loy yigayel, which takes it a step further. You can't. Loyigal means it cannot be redeemed, it cannot be sold. Whether it's alive or after shechita, blemished, unblemished, you can't sell it. So why is he, how is he selling Maser at all? That's the question. And this question was already asked by Rav Sheshes. So this dilemma, Akshayil Rav Sheshes, already had this kash, Bu'ur that night. And in the morning, he woke up with the answer. Vishanye. And he resolved it because Musa in the morning with Brisa, based on a Brisa. So he must have dreamt the answer. big tzaddikim will learn Torah in their sleep. In fact, Arizal says the whole purpose. Arizal used to dream, say this at Torah, and the Atim Chaim Volozhin writes from the Vilna Gaon, the whole purpose of sleep, Hashem gave us sleep so that we can delve deeper into our learning Torah. In fact, you know, I was reading recently, they have a study that came up with that a person actually internalizes his material, his learning, whatever he learns by day, internalizes it and reviews it during nighttime, during dreams. It's time for Chazorah. Okay, so he resolved it in the morning, came up with an answer. Mibraisa, based on a braisa, which will be learned a bit later, which teaches us that Minatora, yeah, a master behema animal cannot be sold while alive. But after Shechita, it's mutter to sell Minatora. Midrabbanan, we don't differentiate, so it's asr, but in certain cases, we allow. Such as, but master behema, shall you say, Maskin was speaking about master behema belonging to young orphans. When Mishum HaShavah Saveda, Nogu Elcham allowed it because of a special, you know, allowance of HaShavah Saveda to give them a source of income. Now she explains otherwise. What in the world are they going to do with a huge goat, 200 pounds of meat for a couple of kids? So we allow them to sell it. So that's the solution to the Mishnah. How are you selling a Masur Behemah? Because really, Minatera, it's Mutter to sell after Shechita. It's only Asur Midrabbanan. They made a special dispensation in special circumstances. Now, Rav Idi was Sarsei, was the Shami, the Shamis, the assistant of the Rav Sheshi Sava. Shami Minei, so he heard this interesting teretz to explain the Mishnah, right? Yisayim, right? Ozel Amr B'Midrash, he went into the Yibes HaMedrash and he related the answer without sourcing it. Well, Amr B'Shmei didn't relate it to Rav Sheshi, so he just said it over. Shamar Rav Sheshi heard that it was being said over without attributing it to his name. He wasn't happy. Why? Amar, he said, man, he expressed himself pretty harshly. Man the ok, one who bites, the akrav should be bitten by a scorpion. Rashi says a reference to chayrim, to excommunication. He was upset that the source was not mentioned. What's the big deal? Rav Sheshi's my nafkilei mino. What if Sheshi's care so much whether his name was mentioned or not? The answer is, it's so important to relate the Torah to its source. It belongs, it's his part of Torah, it's his perspective of Torah, and it's meant to stay on that way forever. Even after a person's passing, when that Torah is related in his name in this world, which is the main place of learning Torah, through hardship, through darkness, through challenge, right? So that Torah that's being learned in his name in this world allows him in Elul Haba to re-experience, to share in that learning going on in this world. That's a huge schus. We find that Davar HaMalach was yearning for this. What does the pasuk mean? Agura, I will dwell, Ba'alacha, in your dwelling, Oilamim, in two worlds. How could you live in two worlds at the same time? Either here or there, right? Rather, he meant like this. Even after my passing, after, you know, 70 years, I would love that they learn my Torah in this world so that I can experience the Olam HaZeh, learning with them while I'm up in Olam Haba. That's a true prize. Learning down here, yeah, in Olam Haba, of course everyone's learning, enjoying themselves, but to be part of Olam HaZeh, of the light, breaking through the darkness, through the challenges, emotional, physical, financial, to learn the Torah in this world, that's the Chiddush. And that's what he wanted to take part in. Elam David, rather David Amal tells Hashem, Ribbono Shel, Master of the World, Yoimru Davar Shmuel Mipi, Olam HaZeh, I would like that they should be learning and relating matters of Torah from me. In this world, even when I'm Elul Haba. Why? He quoted Rabbi Shimon ben Yechai, called Talmud Chacham, Sha'im Ram Davar Shmo Mepil Ben Mazet Talmud Chacham, who is Zeicha, that they relate matters of Torah in his name. In this world, Sevseisav, Dovi Vais Bekever, his lips move around in the kever. He's participating in that Elul Mazel learning, in that great experience of learning Torah in the darkness of this world. Biggest chos shayach. And no, Farshim explained, not necessarily do we have the physical lips moving, but it means, you know, the lips represent a certain element of the person's nefesh, and that expresses Torah, that takes part in the verbalization of Torah, and that's participating, that's taking part in their learning. What do we find this in the pasuk as well? Like wine. So we learned that the lips of a tzaddik are like the it's like the pile of grapes. Just like the pile there in the wine press. Boy, once a person just gives a little touch on the corner, the whole thing quivers. When matters of Torah related in their name, his lips move around the kever. And he takes part and re-experiences that Torah with them. Okay, so Shesha is resolved at Mishnah. How do we sell Masar V'Ema? We're talking about a unique case, Yisayimim, who need it. Because really, the sale of Masar V'Ema is banned min HaTorah during the life of the lifetime of the Masar V'Ema. But after Shechit, it's only Asur Midrabbanan, and we allow it for special cases. My Brisa, where is that in the Brisa? The Sanya. Masar V'Ema shel Yisayimim meichron Yisayim. So firstly, right, the Masar V'Ema of Yisayim could be sold, as we explained before. So after Shechit, you can sell it. Okay, done. Now, the Brisa continues. U'Masar V'Ema shel Shechtei. A fellow shechted Masar V'Ema. Now, is this the same as the first case? Is this a new case? We'll have a discussion about this in a minute. There's another way to sell Masar V'Ema. Mavliyah, you absorb it. You absorb the price of the meat within the price of the skin, which is inedible, which is you can sell. There's no ban against selling the skins and the bones, inedibles of the Masar V'Ema. So just swallow in, just absorb. Mavliyah, the price of the meat, don't sell the meat, just sort of include it, ba'iroi, the price of the hide, b'chalavoi, in the fats, and begida of the sinews, of the karnav, and the horns. Okay, now, Maikama, what does the price mean? Two parts, right? Number one, you can sell outright. Number two, only absorption. Which way? Amar Abaye, we're talking two people. Sorry, Amar Abaye Hakama. The Brisa means like this: Masar V'Ema shel Yisayimim meichron Yisayimavlo. It's one and the same case. We have a special dispensation for the Masar V'Ema of Yisayimim to spare their losses, to provide them with livelihood. Go ahead and sell it, but not outright. It shouldn't appear like you're selling it outright to avoid, you know, any perception, anybody perceiving that you can sell, so don't do it outright. Special exception, do it b'havlo. Says the Gemara. So you're indicating that even b'havlo, even by way of this absorption method, that's only allowed for Yisayimim, but a gadol, an adult, a regular person, you can't sell Masar V'Ema even by way of this absorption system. Why not? Havlo is something we allow all over. You know, on Shabbos, a person that works on Shabbos, how does he get paid? Havlo. It's absorbed in, you know, some other work that he does during the week. So technically, it's not considered being paid for Shabbos. So we find it all over the place. In fact, we'll see in a minute by Shemitah, Lulav, and Esra do the same thing. What's wrong with doing the Havlo system for anybody, even an adult, even a regular seller? Why is it only allowed for minors who are orphans? Why is it different than the Mishnah in Sukkah? Okay, lulav mechaver b'shviz. Okay, it's a Shemitah year. I'd like to, you know, buy the lulav and esrog, adasim, arabis. Rashi explains that the lulav technically does not have kedusha shviz. Why? Because it grew mainly on the sixth year and only picked this year. So technically, it's related to last year's season, and there's no kedusha shviz. You can buy it, you can pay for it. The money has no, you know, special status. But the issue is with the esrog. The esrog, even if it was developed on the 60th, but it was picked, it goes based on when it's picked. Picked now, it has current status, it's labeled as Peirush Shviyis, and what's wrong with that? Rashi says, the seller here is not a reliable person, he's not ma'aretz, he'll take your money and do business with it, so we don't want to risk giving him money in exchange for the Shemitah fruit, which will have special status, has to be treated respectfully in a special halachis. So what do you do to avoid that, to preempt handing him money in exchange for the asterisk? I mean, you need the asterisk. You can't just have a luluf and an asterisk. Halakech luluf mechaver b'shvius. So what do you do? Nice and late, matana, you convince the owner to gift you the asterisk. I'll pay for the luluf, but not for the... Why? Lufish ain't a rashai luluf b'shvius. I meant to buy the asterisk on shvius, as we explained. Avidma, the question was asked, okay, that's if the guy's cooperating. But loy rotz alit matana, the guy's not interested in giving the matana. My, what do you do then? Vamrav huna, havla, mavliya loy b'nei asterisk b'luluf. You absorb the price of the asterisk and the price of the luluf. Right, she explained, not a big deal, because in any case, the esrog is not very expensive. Damim kalim, big deal, a couple of pennies in those days. Esrog was a big deal, wasn't a big deal. So just have it absorbed. No, so what do we see? Havlah is a perfectly legitimate system. So why not do the same by Masur Behema? Absorb the price of the meat, which shouldn't be sold outright, just absorb it into the price of the inedibles. The answer is Hasam lo muchamilsa. Hacha muchamilsa. Big difference. Here it's very apparent. I mean, the fellow's spending $1,000 for a piece of skin, a piece of bone? Obviously not. It's covering the meat, so it's appearing like he's selling the meat. But Hasam by the esrog, Rashi says, Dam of kalam. How much does esrog cost? A quarter, a dollar? Just throw it in, include in the price of the lulav, nobody will know the difference. So it's not going to be apparent that it's, you know, actually being sold. There's no room for, you know, misconception, misunderstanding. Okay, so it turns out by it. So according to your understanding of the price, it's all the same case. Masabim of Yisoyim can be sold, provided through the Havlah system. Look back at the price, it mentions Masabim twice. Masabim of Yisoyim could be sold, and the Masa Behema could do Havlah. It's the same case. Why repeat the term Masa Behema? Elam HaRava, let me tell you, the Brisa is talking about two separate cases, giving us two allowances regarding the sale of Masa Behema. As we explained before, really, Min HaTorah, one may not sell Masa Behema during its lifetime, but after Shechita, you could. But the Rabban, we don't differentiate, but we have special dispensations for Yisoyimim or Havlah for anybody. Since it doesn't appear like a blatant sale, it's not going to lead to being sold during its lifetime, which is our main concern. Elam Aruch, come with the price, it means like this. Maser Emesh Yisoyim Mechnoi Sekedar Koi. Okay, Maser Emesh Yisoyim can be sold outright without any, you know, special arrangements. Well, Maser Emesh the Gadol, Maser Emesh of an ordinary person, Sheshoch, that was Shechted, can also be sold provided he did it with the Havlah arrangement. Mavliyoi, ba'oiroi, b'chalavoi, b'gido, b'karnav. Amar Rav Benar Minla, how do I know that this is so? The Pasuk says, regarding Masur Behema, v'hoyu ut marsi yekodesh, lo yigal, you can't sell the Masur Behema. Emasai, at what point are we talking? While alive or afterwards? Emasai is a Tzmura Mechaim. Well, the Pasuk relates to the Tzmura process, that's certainly happening during the lifetime of the, you know, the swap has to happen when it's alive. And likewise, regarding the Isra to sell, mentioned that same pasuk is also while alive. Masai in a nigel mechay, but ha, however, lachash shkita nigel after shkita you can do it. Not Torah. The Rabbana and the Gozer lachash shkita to make shkita come and say, you know what? If we allow it now, it's going to lead to be done while alive. So we don't allow it even after shkita. But that gzera has limitations, and only applies to circumstances which are, which mirror, which, you know, correspond to an ordinary sale while alive. And therefore, davar nisha mechayim, material which is assessed, which you pay for, meaning the prominent element of the animal, which is its meat, that we don't allow to be sold outright even now, even after shechita. Goz rabon, lacha shechita, they disallowed it now, otof shechita, lest it come to be done lifnei shechita while alive. Again, so something which is ordinarily sold, we don't want it to happen while alive, so we don't do it even after shechita. But davar she'en nishim mechayim, we turn to the next amid. But material which is typically not assessed, not sold outright, hide and the bone, they're just thrown in as a freebie. Davar she'en nishim mechayim, Like us Rabbanim. It's not typically the object of sale, so to speak. So after Shechita, you can just sell it outright. In which case, as long as the focal point of the sale is on the inedibles, you can just throw in, so to speak, and absorb the meat into the deal without concern. That's even by a regular person. Ubiyasmi, and certainly by Yisoimim, Oikmua Rabbona Deraisa, we allow it to be sold even outright. Because we reverted to the Din Deraisa, meaning we're not going to be strict with them because of their circumstance, and they can sell it outright. Va from Shmuel Rav Yitzchak Sov Lelah de Rava. Likewise, he went along with Rava's approach, just from a different pasuk. Damar Shmuel Yitzchak Benayi Lamasa Behem Shlo Yisem Shemachan Zikad Dark. How do I know that the ones of the Yisem can be sold outright? Because truthfully, it's not also Menat Torah. It's only the Rabbanon, and they give an allowance. Shneimar Rak Bachal Avas Nafshach Hatizba Vachal Tabasar. And Rashi explains that we're talking about the Psuli HaMikdashim, that they got a mum, right? Pasuk says you can go eat it, shecht and eat it. V'achalta basar kivirkas Hashem alikecha, as per Hashem's blessing to you. So you'll have the blessing by, doing the shechita and eating it afterwards. Now, eizehu davar she'en boi bracha mechaim. Let's infer. Pasuk is implying that in this case, the bracha means the enjoyment of Hashem's bounty only happens if the shechita, but not while alive. You can't have enough from it while alive. Give an example. It can only benefit after shechita, not before. You see, a regular psula mikdashim, like a shlomim, which experienced a mom, you could have an awe even mechaim, just to make a pidyon, right? Just redeem it and enjoy it. So you could have an awe even while alive. So give me an example of something which you can until after shechita. We have only one candidate. Havayim is a masa behema. And we learn from here that you can't sell it, i.e. you can't have enough from it during its lifetime. The only thing you can do is do shechita. But after shechita, you could sell it. Right? You can't sell it. Mechaim, you could sell it after shechita. So clearly, min haTorah, it's allowed. But as we explained, the Rabbanan, it's not allowed, even after shechita. But they allowed it for Yisayimim, or in the case of Avlo. He boiled one more piece. Now comes a shayla. So we allow Havlo. He boiled. Malav liyay ba'atzamis. Can I absorb the value of the meat in the value of the bones? Right, which are allowed to be sold, they're not edible. So, can I do it with the bones? Charge you for $1,000 for the bones, and everything else comes along with it. Rav Chiya, there was a difference of opinion between Rav Chiya and Rav Shimon ben Rebbe. One says yes, one says no. Chadamar Rav Liyoy, in the price of the bones. Chadamar no, aim Rav Liyoy. There really is no conceptual machlekes. They're talking different animals. Chabadaka, Chabagasa. By light animal, the bones have no value. Nobody sells bones. They're not really suitable for making of tools or utensils. But Chabagasa, by the large, the cattle, their bones have value. They're fashioned into utensils. So there, it makes sense. And it's considered, like a proper sale, in which case you could be Mavliya. Same. Another way to approach this, either be the Bagasa, both speaking about large animals. And they're, they're just expressing, they're reflecting the common practice in their respective towns. Here they would use them for tools, here they wouldn't. In which case it doesn't really have value, and you can't use it for havloh. Mar ki asrei, he's expressing the minig of his makim, where they would make the atzamais into kelim, and it's deemed the proper, it's viewed as a proper material which is sellable, which has value. Well, Mark Castre, he's reflecting his own place where they don't use it for anything useful. So it's preposterous to go and say, well, I'm selling the bones for $1,000 and I'm including the meat where the bones have no value. But in concept, they will agree. If it's something which is considered an item of value, which is typically, sellable, then you could do the Havlah and sell it like that. Okay, let's do a quick chazor of today's daf. We have an individual who's makabel to be a chaver, to join the kahuna, levia, and then they slid away, deviated from observance, but then they had a change of heart and decided to come back again. We have three opinions. Always take them back, never take them back, sometimes. Likewise, a fellow turned a gabbai, dishonest tax collector, there's issues with his status there too. A person's neman with the mumon is karban, the mumon is masa behema, to paskin on his taharis, but not on his own bechur, lest he be swayed a personal interest. Regarding selling the meat of the psula mikdashim in a commercial fashion to fetch the best price, that's only allowed by psula mikdashim, which ultimately benefits hegdish when the fellow anticipates that sale and offers a generous offering to redeem it, as opposed to Bechor Maser, where there is no such factor, in which case you have to sell it, if you wish to sell it privately with little fanfare in order to preserve the honor and the covet of the of its status. How are you selling at all? Well, Bechor works with a Pasuk, Maser Behema, which is not allowed to be sold. So how are we talking about selling? According to Abaye, Yisaimim, and according to Rava, either Yisaimim or Behavla'a. And the reason behind it was that Minatur, the Isra is only while alive, after Shechit only the Rabbanon. But if it's a special circumstance, then we allow. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.